Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Word of God, I've got my timer. I've adjusted it for what God has already done. Kicking off a brand new series every Wednesday in February. I can tell you that January 2022 was the best January I have ever had in my life in every conceivable way. Man, God spoke to me, been more disciplined in the fasting and the prayer and getting in the Word of God and just finance, everything just clicking. And I'm grateful because February 1st, yesterday, started off the same way, just God just doing great things. And so that kind of leads me into our subject for tonight, Matthew chapter 14, just two verses while you're standing. And this is at the tail end of the account where Jesus feeds 5,000 men and their families. Verse 20, and they, that word they is important because that they includes us. It was just whoever chose to follow Jesus out into the desert. And they did all eat. Somebody say all eat. And were filled. Oh, that's good. That means not just a crumb, not just enough. Come on, somebody. They were filled, and they took up the fragments. You say, did Jesus mismeasure the miracle? Of course he didn't. He wants to fill you today, but he wants to overflow you so you got something left to sow, to eat tomorrow and the next day. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, verse 21. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So around 20,000 people Jesus fed with 5 fish and 2 loaves. Our series is called Multiplied, and we are moving from just enough to more than enough. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, my God shall supply all of your needs. Tell them multiply in Jesus' name. You may be seated. This series has a lot of designations, things that I am hoping that it will do for you and your family. I encourage you to write down, take notes. If I talk too fast, when they throw up points on this LED wall, take pictures of them. Because I believe what God speaks in the next 4 Wednesday nights, I believe it is for now, but I believe it will drastically affect your next. I believe that if God were to bless you like you've never been blessed in 2022, I believe 1 year from now, we could preach this same series and you could go another step higher. As long as you're alive on this earth, there is always more room to grow and mature into the things of God. And can I tell you, when I say multiplied and I talk about from not enough or just enough to more than enough, please do not dumb down God to only think about money. Money is a very small part of your happiness. Shameless plug, follow me on TikTok. TikTok's, it's wild out there, y'all. TikTok's a jungle. It's crazy. And there's a lot of crazy, but I got on there last night and I said, anybody, and you'll hear Jesse say some sort of derivative of this, anybody that tells you that money doesn't buy happiness has never had a lot of money. Because money will buy you happiness. A Ferrari will make you happy. $1 million will make you happy. Courtside tickets, 50-yard line tickets to the Super Bowl, you're going to be happy, but don't ever mistake happiness and joy. Money buys happiness, but it can't buy joy. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy comes straight from God. And so I want to encourage you, please don't minimize God to only talk about when we talk about favor and blessing and more and multiplied. Please don't dumb him down to just your pocketbook, because that's one very small part of your life. We're talking about your spiritual health, your mental health, your family, your marriage, your job, your career, your purpose, your ministry. You say, Pastor, I have a purpose and a ministry. Yes, you do. And God wants to multiply influence. God wants to multiply what he's done in you, because when he does something special in you, it multiplies your influence. So there's a lot of takeaways in this series that this series is designed to do, but just a few, and I got to throw this in here. This series is designed, you're going to hear it all year, to get your hopes up. I know the series is over, but the hope is not over. The thought is not over. The cliche is not done. The motto is not. I'm still saying it, and I'm still believing it. I have irrational hope, irrational faith. I was talking to one of my finance guys today, and he was telling me all about what's going to happen here in the next few months, and he is a bright and brilliant mind. And I just thought, man, that's going to be terrible for everybody else. Come on now. But as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. We don't live by the world's standards. We live in a real Goshen, in the hand of God. Everything that's happening out there doesn't have to happen here. God can multiply. So get your hopes up. This series is also designed for you to take the limits off your expectation. I love that Bishop just gets so transparent sometimes. I love when he preaches and he just tells a story where God just chastised him and said, he said, Steve, you just haven't believed for big enough things. You haven't asked for big enough things. Man, for someone to say that after everything that God has accomplished through Bishop, for me to sit there on a Wednesday or Sunday and hear that, it chastises me and says, all right, Brennan, get your hopes up. Break off the limits. Break off the limitations. Get your expectation. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. When you realize that God is a God of multiplication, that he wants to move you from not enough to not from just enough, but to more than enough, you will get bigger expectations. In accordance with this story, some of you maybe have never read this story. This series is designed to help you take inventory of what you already have. Let me just throw this out there, and they're not going to put this on the wall, but I love this quote. I don't know who said it, but I've clung to it for many, many years. If what you have in your hand is not enough, it's a seed. Let me say it again. If what you hold in your hand is not enough, it's a seed. And so when we say take inventory, some of us are asking God for a harvest when God says, I'll give you the harvest when you take inventory and find out you have the seed for that harvest in your pocket, in your life. And the moment you turn that thing loose, I'm going to show up and multiply whatever you need. It's going to happen in your life. So take an inventory. What's in your hand? What's in your life? This series is designed to help you define your role in the process of your miracle. You know you have a job to do in your miracle. You can't sit and say, God, it's going to be all you. No, no, no. God does the impossible, but we do the possible. So this series is to help you define your role. This series finally is to help you define your responsibility. What are you responsible for in the process of your miracle? How many of you like math? Just raise your hand. How many of you are math people? How many of you, you can put your hands up. How many of you hate math and anything with numbers? I'm a numbers guy. I get it honestly. Mom's a numbers person. Dad's a numbers person. My brother is a number. Even my in-laws, my mother-in-law who's watching tonight is I always call her a CPA, and she's like, quit telling people I'm a CPA. I don't know if she just doesn't want to help you or I'm getting it wrong, but Ramona, I'm sorry, but she's the county purchaser for Comal County, so she buys everything from Post-it notes and pencils all the way to school buses and police patrol cars, and so we're numbers people. I'm not an English person. Mandy's an English person, but she's not a numbers person. But you know why I believe I'm a numbers person? I'm just saying this in jest, because God is a numbers guy. God is all about the numbers. God loves math. Let me show you how he loves math. God is in every number that you can come up with. Let's talk about subtraction. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That's subtraction. Let us lay aside sin. That's subtraction, which besets us easily, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Can we just thank God for a moment of everything that he has taken away from us? That's called subtraction. Can we just thank God that some people in our lives were taken away? Can we just thank God that some addictions were taken away? Can we just spend a moment and say, God, I'm so thankful that that opportunity was taken away. I'm so grateful that my vocabulary, how I used to talk, what I used to talk about, I'm so glad those habits were taken away. Can I just be honest? I'm glad thoughts were taken away. The God of subtraction. I'm so grateful for the things that God has taken out of my life. And I love this about God. When God takes something out of your life, you are now in prime position for him to give you something new. Sometimes you've got to get rid of the old furniture to bring the new furniture in. You're eventually going to run out of room. Can I encourage you in 2022, church? Jesus is wanting to do a new thing. Jesus is wanting to give you a new word. And so to do that, you got to say, God, in 2022, I need you to subtract and take some things out of my life that cannot go forward or are preventing me from getting something new. Somebody say subtract. Let's talk about addition. 2 Peter 1:5 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. This verse, it struck a chord with me a few weeks ago when I started laying this out, because God gave me this message, this series, a few months ago in 2021. But I love what Peter says here. He says, your faith is good, but he said, your faith needs virtue. He said, there's a lot of people who are talking faith, but they need virtue and knowledge. And so this is what Peter said. Peter said, whatever you need, God will add it to you. This is where, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but this is where we really have to pray about the timing with God. When God gives you something today, it's most likely going to be addition. But if you'll let God have it for a while, it turns into multiplication. So sometimes, some of you caught that, sometimes we get very antsy and impatient and we ask God for something now and God is saying, I want to hold that off until August because when I give it to you in August, it's going to be so much more beneficial to you. But we get impatient in February and say, no, God, I need it right now. It's like those J.G. Wentworth commercials. It's my money and I want it now. And God's saying, it is yours. I died to give it to you. But if you will wait and let me exponentially increase that thing, what you are wanting today is going to have a bigger effect in your life tomorrow if you can just hold on. But God will add things to us. Subtraction, addition, let's move to division. 2 Timothy 2:15. When you hear division, we're not talking about divisive. We're not talking about splitting things. We're not talking about the negative aspects of division. We're talking about the mathematical concept of division. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible says that if we're going to receive the approval of God, we've got to study. Can I tell you that we here in the Western world still call Wednesday nights Bible study? But really, we're not studying. We are listening, and we are very superficially for 25 minutes jumping into the Word of God. But 25 minutes on Wednesday and 35 minutes on Sunday is not enough. That is not studying. It takes 10,000 hours for you to become a professional or a pro at something. Can I encourage you? It's going to take you a long time to get to 10,000 hours if all you do is 25 minutes a week. And so we've got to jump in our word. Why? Because when we study, we are approved. And then the word of God starts making sense to us. And we don't move things out of context. And we don't hit dead ends. But God's word continually moves in us. Now to my favorite. And it's what this series is built on. 2 Peter 1:2, multiplication. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Multiplication only happens through God. A relationship with Jesus. If you are fine with addition, your life's going to move very slow. But what God wants to do, because how many of you know this world is winding up? I don't know if we've got 5 years or 50 years, but I believe that the God of multiplication can do in 5 days what it would take us 5 decades to do. God can fill this building in an hour, and it would take us 50 years of programs and broadcast. I believe that as the day of Jesus Christ approaches, that multiplication and exponential blessing and exponential outpouring will begin to happen, and that can only happen through multiplication, and that only happens through Jesus Christ. For those of you that are in the financial mind, saving, which is addition, will make you comfortable. Investing will make you wealthy. Warren Buffett said this, no one ever got rich saving. You only become wealthy investing. Because it's not adding to. You're not putting $100 or $1,000 in your account every month. What you're doing is you're buying multiple stocks. You're buying multiple shares. You're investing. And so now while you sleep, your money's making money. See, that's where God wants to bring you to. And to get off the money point, I want to encourage you. God is not just wanting to add things to you. God is wanting to multiply. That's why 1 Peter would say, I want grace and peace to be multiplied to you. Mercy is multiplied. I love the fact that while I'm sleeping, mercy is multiplied so that it's fresh and it's available the next morning. I want to encourage you today. We are asking God to give us things that we might not be ready for. We're asking God to give us things that are premature. But can I tell you, as a mature Christian, to pray about it and say, God, if the timing is off, I would rather you multiply that favor, that blessing, that word, that increase, and I'd rather you wait and give it to me next month, next year, 10 years from now, if that's what it takes, because I want it to be multiplied and I want it to be ready. Saving means I'm holding on. Investing means I'm letting it go. Multiplication never happens with you holding on to anything. You've got to let it go. We probably won't have time to get to the actual story tonight, but there was a child, a young man that had the two fish and five loaves. Guess what he had to do? He had to turn it loose. Guess who was hungry too? He was. But he said, not only am I hungry, he said, everybody I'm with is hungry. But Jesus, if you can multiply, I'll let it go if you can feed me and them. Because guess what? He could have ate his little lunch and went home with a full belly. But he said, hey, Jesus, if I turn this loose, are you telling me you can feed me and them? And I'm not the only one that will be full? Can I encourage you in 2022, you can eat what God has given you? Or you can say, hey, Jesus, are you telling me if I turn that thing loose in 2022, you're going to meet my needs and you're going to reach a generation and you're going to bless my community and you're going to reach into my family and you're going to bless my in-laws and you're going to bless my church family? All I've got to do is turn it loose. Well, let me turn it loose and multiply it. That little boy had it right. You know why that little boy had it right? He hadn't been to college and talked out of Jesus yet. He hadn't spent enough time in what they call the real world to be talked out of and for Jesus and a life of Christ to be called a fantasy or emotionalism or what all the things that they call it now in college and university and in the world, and that Christianity is for the weak-minded and the feeble-minded. No, this boy had not been perverted by the world. And he said, I understand multiplication. I understand who you are. And if you need what I have, I will gladly give it to you so that I'm not the only one sitting at the table and eating. But God, when I eat, we can all eat in Jesus' name when you get involved. Got 3 minutes left. Saving is holding on, investing is letting go. God is a God of multiplication, which means God is a God of more than enough. Philippians 4:7, this is how I know God is a God of more than enough. God never just meets a need. He beats expectation and gives you more than what you need. The Bible says in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. That is a supernatural peace. That is a multiplied peace. That is a peace that the world does not have access to. That is a peace that while everything is going crazy around you, you are just saying, God, I don't know why I'm not acting like them, but God, I'm so grateful for what you're doing in my life. God, I'm going through the same storm that they are, but you've multiplied peace at such a rate. I'm not fearful. I'm not anxious. I'm not going crazy like they are. Why? Because he multiplied peace. He didn't just add peace to you. He multiplied peace. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable is joy multiplied. It is joy that once Jesus gets involved, he said, I'm not just going to give you joy for the hour and a half you go to church on Wednesday. That joy is going to follow you home. That joy is going to show up at your job tomorrow. That joy is going to be a part of your daily life. Why? Because God is not just wanting you to feel good and to feel joy on Wednesday night from 7, but he wants you to take this Jesus joy with you and say, God, wherever I am, I have joy unspeakable. Well, can you put it into words? I can't put it into words. Why are you always so happy? I don't know why. It's God in me. There is no other reason. Well, aren't you going, I am going through that, but for some reason, I'm not worried about that. God's given me a peace. God's given me a joy, and I cannot explain it. Cannot explain it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, very familiar and popular to us. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Those are multiplication words. One of those words by themselves would probably merely just be addition. But when God starts stacking these words and being repetitive, he is showing you something. He is showing you that I am not just going to give you what you need on Wednesday. I'm going to give you more than enough. I'm going to bless you with so much you can give some away. And you can become that hope dealer we've been talking about. Not just hope for you, not just hope for your family. I'm going to give you so much hope that the cubicle, 3 cubicles down, you're going to give them some hope at 1 o'clock after lunch break. I'm going to give you so much hope that when you show up at school and you meet one of your peers who's suicidal and depressed, you're going to just have some extra hope. God wants to do something more, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. Ask is addition. But when you start talking about thoughts, we miss it. We miss it. God said, I'll give you everything you want. Just ask for it. Then he said, I'll give you everything you want. Just think it. Then he says things like, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You know what that tells me? Think bigger. Think bigger thoughts. Get bigger vision. Start thinking beyond. Can I tell you, I wish some of the things I wish you could hear, some of the things I'm glad you don't. But in our staff meetings on Monday, we got so hype in there this past Monday talking about this building being filled up, talking about when this happens. And Mario said, man, I always like it. You don't say if, you say when it happens. I said, yeah, we're gonna eventually be meeting in here on Monday mornings talking about the sound system out in the parking lot because there's so many people, we can't get them in. You say, that's crazy. No, that's asking abundantly, exceeding above all that I can ask or that I can think. Every day I'm praying, God, fill this building up multiple times a week with people that need you. But then my thoughts start going outside the four walls of this church. Hey, take us to millions of people through the airwaves. Get thousands of people out in the parking lot. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a God that says you have not prayed big enough prayers. You haven't declared big enough dreams above, exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I'm going to be honest with you. Mandy is my sounding board. I tell her all kinds of crazy vision that I have. And what I love about Mandy, she's never made me feel stupid. And she's never made me feel less than. She always says, amen, I believe it. If that's what God's speaking, let's go. I'm here with it. I'm here for it. But can I tell you that there's some things that God's given me? It's too big for me to share. There's still some things I'm thinking about that I haven't spoken yet. You say, well, you need to speak them. Hold on, don't tell me what I need to do. Because God said, what you ask, I'll do it. But he said, there's some things you're thinking about. And before I speak it, I need to get ready here. And when I start thinking it, God begins to show me more things. Can I encourage you in February as we talk about multiplied, I need you to quit thinking about minute things. Can I encourage you that prayer about paying your light bill, that's an admirable prayer. But can we get off the light bills and the car payments and start reaching for things that are greater than just the money and just making sure our needs are met by the end of the month? Can I encourage you, start calling in the prostitutes, start calling in the crack addicts, start calling in the people that need Jesus. Start calling in the Muslims. Start calling in the Buddhists. Start calling in real miracles to happen here. This church We're on a powder keg. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. We're on a powder keg. Waiting. Not on God. But waiting for the revelation of the exceeding abundance above all, the multiplying God, that we quit acting like God can only add to us. That's what people do. God said, I will multiply it for you. One more verse. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. A few years ago, Jesse Duplantis preached from this text in this room. It changed my life. It was the one time, and I don't want to say I hope it's the last time, but it's God's going to have to show up with two forms of identification. I came out here with my checkbook. I gave every penny in my checking account that night because my faith just surged. It was that moment, Sister Tanya, that I realized when Jesse comes, I'm leaving my checkbook in the office. But he preached this. I was sitting right over there a few months ago, and I could hear it in my mind, and I texted Pastor Becky, and I typed it. I said, where's this verse found? And she, boom, she's my concordant. She sent it right back to me. She said, that's 2 Corinthians 9. You know what I love about this verse? It's way, way repetitive. And there's a lot of big words that it uses. And God is able, come on now, to make all grace, that word all. You know what all means in the Greek? All. Abound toward you, that you always. You know what always means? Always. He said all things, all the time. Come on now. Having all sufficiency. There that word is again, all. You're being repetitive. May abound, that means a lot, to every, there's another big word. So what does that mean, Pastor? I'm telling you, in one verse, Paul's trying to get Corinth and that church there to break out of that expectation deficit and to say the God that you pray to is a multiplying God. You are talking to him like you do your IRS agent. You're begging him for just enough. You're playing him like the lottery. Just, well, I hope my numbers are right. And Paul is saying, no, no, no. You have the God that is Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, he is your provision. He will lead you to a place of provision. He is your provider. Living Way, Wednesday nights in February. I want to introduce you to a multiplying God. I want to introduce you to a God that is more than enough. Just because someone else doesn't believe big, don't let it rob you of believing big. Just because some of your friends are also rans and don't have faith, don't let it dumb down your faith. I want you to get some vision. I want you to get some dreams and say, God, I need you to multiply my life like you said that you would. Standing on your feet. Multiply. Multiply. I'm going to end with this story. 60 seconds. About 15 or 20 years ago, at that time, I thought it was an elderly couple. They were like 60. Now that I'm 40, elderly's like 103. An elderly couple I'd never met called me and said, hey, do you have any black and white studs for sale? I said, I have one. They said, we'd like to buy them. We have 6 or 7 mares, and we'd like to start raising our own babies. And so we discussed the price, and they came and picked them up, and when they came and picked him up, I told him, I said, he's 18 months old, but this next spring, give him about 6 months, he'll be ready to breed all your mares, and off you go. It's going to be great. So as my custom, I gave them, I know how long it took him to get home. I called him about 2.5 hours later, and I said, Joseph, how'd it go? Did you get unloaded all right? He said, yeah, he jumped right out of the trailer. Everything's fine. I said, well, give him about 6 months, and he'll be ready. He said, 6 months? He said, that guy came out of the trailer and bred one of our mares right when he got here. I said, well, glory be to God. I didn't hear from Joseph and his wife, Clara, for about 15 years, Brother Charlie. Joseph calls me one day and says, Brandon, are you interested in buying some mares? I said, I'm always interested in buying some mares. He said, well, Clara's not doing very well, and we're in Houston a lot, and I need you to come and look at these mares. And so I said, man, I'd be glad to. I drove out to LaGrange, Texas. And when I pulled through his gate off the road and went through a little gully and came up, there was about 75 beautiful paint horses. I said, where'd you get all these horses, Joseph? He said, I got them from my 6 or 7 mares in your stud. So the last 15 years, 20 years, they've just been multiplying. I said, what do you want for them? He gave me a price. I said, oh, I can't do that. We met on a price. I took a trailer load home that day. A few years later, he calls me again. I need you to come get these horses. I said, how much you want for them? He said, you come load them and you can have them. I went back and guess what? They had multiplied again. Can I encourage you to get past, God, give me a little something for Wednesday so I can make it to Thursday? And can I have you step into the realm that when you drive through the valley and come out on top, you say, God, where did all this come from? And God says, I'm a multiplying God, not just an adding God. You move into the realm of faith where I'm multiplying everything you need. If you're ready to meet a multiplying God tonight, I don't know what you need, but I know God has it multiplied for you. God can.